From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of September 2022. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, remote from the farm field today, shucking corn in Logan County, Illinois. During the program today, we'll talk with Jackie Vakes. She's at Total Farm Marketing. And then a bit later in the program, Greg Johnson will join us from TGM, Total Grain Marketing. He'll tell us about the cash grain markets, and Jackie will tell us, of course, about the futures markets. We'll wrap up things together as usual for Wednesday by taking a look at the weather forecast too, that with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. We're in the middle of our fall fun drive, and if you've not given just yet, but you listen to the program regularly, I think today would be a perfect time to make a donation, make a pledge. willgive.org or 217-244-9455 in support of the agricultural programming that comes to you from the campus of the University of Illinois. It's important because about 40% of our budget comes from you. When you make that pledge, and I know you will, a $100 level is great. Remember, this is our 100th year of broadcasting on WILL AM 580. $40 is fantastic. More than 100, say 240, 400, 480, 640, that's wonderful. Thank you for whatever gift you make, but do it right now at 217-244-9455 or at willgive.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, December corn in Chicago at $6.70 and a half, settled three higher. The March at $6.76 and a half, up 3 3/4, and May at $6.77 and a quarter. 3 3/4 higher as well. November beans, $14.08 and 3/4, 3/4 higher. January at $14.16 and a quarter, up 2 1/4 for the day. And the March at $14.20 and 3/4, finished 3 3/4 higher. Bean meal down $4.30. The bean oil 14 cents lower, and soft red winter wheat for the day at $9.03 and a quarter, up 31 3/4. The hard red December contract there at $9.76. It finished 32 3/4 cents higher on the afternoon. Lean hogs in Chicago finished at $75.82 and a half, down 42 1/2 cents. Again, that number is 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455 or willag.org. Jackie Vakes of TotalFarmMarketing.com now joins us. Hi, Jackie. Sounds like things are busy there. I bet that's the case today because farmers are in the field, although sometimes they're less likely to call. By the way, thank you very much for all the volunteerism that you've done with Illinois Public Media over the years.
I really appreciate WILL. I'll tell you, you know, if you travel outside of the Illinois area, you recognize just what a valuable tool WILL is to all of our listeners. You know, sometimes we just don't appreciate what we have because we don't know what it is we have compared to other people. So please support the station. I'll tell you, they don't have anything like WILL anywhere else that I've ever been.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. If you appreciate it on your end as well, 217-244-9455 or willgive.org. Jackie, let's start with the support and resistance levels as usual today, please.
All righty. December, 610 and 670. March, 621, 689. May, 672, 683. November beans, 1309 and 1415. January, 1319 and 1422. March, 1381 and 1429. Gold in December, 1696 and 1790. Dow Jones big change, 28,670, 30,253. Dollar also big change, 113.12 and 116.25. Our managed money pot this week, they pulled their wings in a little bit, I'm sure, ahead of the grain stocks report. 24,000 short on wheat compared to 12,000 last week. 220,000 long on corn compared to 235. 78,000 long on beans compared to 120. 80,000 on meal compared to 92. And 47,000 long on soy oil compared to 55. The index traders, on both sides of everything, they cut their positions in wheat by 1,041 positions, but they actually added 39 to corn and 954 to beans. You know, so they're very sensitive to anything as far as economic information goes. Export inspections for the wheat. Wheat exports ended up down 4% compared to 11 last week. Corn ahead 21% compared to 22 last week, and beans ahead 18 compared to 19 last week.
You mentioned the grain stocks report that's due out Friday at 11 o'clock from USDA. What are the expectations?
Well, the expectations are for corn 1.479 billion compared to 1.235. Last year at this time, beans 247 compared to 257, and wheat 1.795 compared to 1.774. Kind of interesting, Todd, you know, U.S. corn stocks are really tight, and or farmers are just not selling because they're waiting for higher prices. You know, we've been hearing elevators talking about taking wet corn. They're actually taking in wet corn and not charging any drying fees. You don't normally see that ever unless they're desperate. Last year at this time, we saw the farmer had 48.8% of the corn on the farm, 34% of the beans, 14% of the wheat. So I'll be looking when that report comes out on Friday to see once exactly where we are this year. If we come in with a number, let's say at 50% above on the farm, could really tank corn for at least a little bit of time. Is an expectation that we may see some adjustments to the soybean corn production. Very slightly higher on bean production, very slightly lower on corn production. And from a wheat standpoint, just a little bit lower, basically, than what we were seeing in August of 22. You know, there's just so much concern right now over this rise in the dollar. It bothers me a lot. You know, flight to the dollar is such a strong indicator that there are economic issues everywhere in the world. You know, and because the dollar is considered safe haven, and for right now, that's where it's at. And then today we saw China, they came out and pegged China's growth at 2.8%, down from 5%. You know, that's the first time in 30 years that it's been below 3.2%. All of those things are, you know, having an impact on this market. When you look at the Ukrainians, you know, they're asking for an export corridor to Europe. If the deal with Russia doesn't renew, well, we don't know what's going to happen with Russia. They're just a powder keg waiting to blow up, it seems like. But and the other thing is, we don't know what impact hurricane might have on the harvest. I mean, if you look at the current path, it's showing rain going all the way up into Ohio. So this is going to be a very interesting week, let's just put it that way.
Now that you've mentioned other parts of the world, can you talk about Brazil as well, please?
Well, you know, when you look at Brazil, just like we normally see with La Nina, their three-month forecast is drier in the south, wetter in the central. They actually did have light snow in southern Brazil on the first day of spring. Again, right in line with what happens with La Nina. They do have 1.5% of their soybeans planted and 28% of their first crop in the ground, in the ground. So, you know, they're making progress, but, you know, they're looking right down the chute of another very tough growing season. So, you know, every year, you know, we look at this and the weather is negative, but they have so many hectares that they can expand on that you can never count on what they're really going to produce. Now, down in Argentina, there was a headline, dry weather in Argentina encourages the switch from corn to soy. And I don't doubt that that's true. You know, they haven't gotten a lot of rain, and that's very possible. But Dr. Cordonier had something I thought that was really interesting, a little history, and so I thought I would share that with everybody. He said, prior to 2015, the Argentine government interfered in corn export market by capping the amount of corn exports. This resulted in low domestic corn prices, which was the goal of the program, and farmers were uncertain about future price of corn because of export restrictions. So there were no export restrictions on beans, and farmers could estimate the future price for beans by referring to the Board of Trade. Therefore, they planted more and more beans until it was almost a monoculture. In other words, hardly any corn at all. Since 15, farmers in the Pampas area of Argentina have been reducing their soybean acreage and increasing their corn acreage. The two main driving factors for this is a higher export tax levied on beans and a desire for a more sustainable crop rotation. During the 14-15 growing season, farmers in Argentina planted 6.5 times more hectares of beans compared to corn. And they knew that this was unsustainable from an agronomic point of view. They just wanted a more balanced rotation. So during the 21-22 growing season, Farmers in Argentina planted only 2.2 times more hectares of soybeans compared to corn. So both the Rosario Grain Exchange and the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange feel that the corn acreage is going to decline and the bean acreage is going to increase. And so they're talking about possibly switching maybe 200,000 hectares. But, you know, that situation is certainly fluid, can change any time. One thing we did see, you know, their scheme with the peso to bring more beans out of the farmer's hands certainly worked. But this last week it dropped off by about 30%. You know, the program actually ends on the 30th of September. So we're going to have to see once if they extend that or not. But it worked. And the thing that I guess I want to bring to the forefront here is we never want to find ourselves here in the United States in agriculture in the position that the farmer is in Argentina. Agriculture in Argentina, corn and beans in particular, provide the majority of the tax income for that country. And so that is something we never want to see happen here. It's just a horrible, horrible situation. So stay on top of everything that's going on when it comes politically.
Hey, Jackie, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob. Have a good one.
That's Jackie Vex. She is with TotalFarmMarketing.com. Have you made that donation yet to willgive.org? I hope so. Or maybe you can just dial this number, 217-244-9455. It's important to do. We're in the midst of our fall fund drive. We have today and tomorrow to get this done. And I'd really like help from the ag audience. You know, that's what happens in the agricultural community. We help each other. And the help here is that I bring you information from the brokers and the folks that cover the weather and the farm doc team, the animal scientists, the crop scientist here on campus, all of the time trying to give you information that makes really good, pertinent business sense. Information that you can make, well, decisions on. I hope that happens. If it does, right now would be a fantastic time to help us out at 217-244-9455 or willgive.org. Let's check the cash grain situation now with Greg Johnson. He is at TGM, Total Grain Marketing, here in Champaign County. Well, there in Champaign County, Greg, because I'm in the field, as most will have known by now if they've listened all week long, in Logan County. Corn is good here, by the way. Testing 19 today. Yesterday was 19%, 20 to 23. We only had one number that went 23 on Monday. So corn's pretty dry. How about in your area?
We are not as dry as you are. I'd say a lot of our corn that was coming in when we had the half price drying was coming in around 24 to 28% moisture. There was still a lot of hand shelled samples coming in and wetter than that. So we're probably a week to 10 days behind you. I think farmers are hoping that beans will be ready this weekend and on into next week and do some beans. And then when those early beans are done, hopefully by then the corn will have dried down and we can really get into corn harvest in earnest, probably towards the end of next week.
I know in the area here, a lot of beans are running. The elevator, though, has slowed down during the week, just trying to get semis in and out because of corn, although I think more folks are still in soybean than corn in the area. What are your takes on the market this week and how it's reacted, and what are the primary drivers? Are we just going to see some pressure from corn harvest to begin pretty soon?
I think that's one factor. Yeah, the seasonality. We typically go down into Columbus Day. The market just is under pressure from a little bit of harvest selling. From, you know, there's a certain percentage of people that just don't want to store corn, or, you know, no matter what, they're just going to sell it across the scale. So we're going to see a little bit of harvest pressure. Plus, the prices really aren't that bad, especially with the yields being at least early on a little bit better than what we thought. So yes, a little bit of harvest pressure. And then the other thing, of course, is the macro factors, the strong dollar, the strong U.S. dollar, the weak oil prices. That has combined to pressure both corn and beans. And then the better than expected yields, at least from the first 5 or 10% of harvest on both corn and beans, seem to be better than expected. That's probably pressuring the market as well. So I think the combination of those three factors is pressuring the market here in the short run.
Yeah, what have bean yields been running?
Corn has been running about 210 here in Champaign County, and when we did the yield checks, they were 190. So either we're in early corn that's better and we'll eventually get to the later planted corn and it won't be as good, or the other alternative is maybe the test, you know, the rains that we got in August and September added test weight and some kernel depth to the kernels that were there, and so maybe the yields will be better than what we thought it was going to be back in August. So that's on the corn. And then the beans, we thought we would have good beans, and from what few beans that have been cut, that's what we're hearing. A lot of beans in the mid-70s. Every once in a while, we'll hear something in the lower 80s, which, you know, I think, you know, it's not going to be a record crop, but it could be our second or third biggest crop here in Champaign County.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing in Champaign County, Illinois. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew. Thank you for being with us on this fall fun drive day. By the way, you volunteer your time here, and I really appreciate that. I hope that our listeners, our agricultural listeners in particular, appreciate the fact that all of our analysts volunteer their time. And part of that is because we come to you, our listeners, from time to time, like this week, and ask if you might join us with the small financial pledge. Now, that can begin at any level. $40 is great. I like the $100 level this year. I usually ask for $120, but because it is our 100th year at AM 580 on the air, I think $100 would be great. If you want to go, I don't know, $240, $480, or $640, those are all kind of fun numbers as well. I would really appreciate it if you give us a call now at 217-244-9455 or go online at willgive.org. That's W-I-L-L-give, G-I-V-E. .org. Make your pledge. Either way, it doesn't take very long. Or you can just call and tell us you're going to send us a check, too. If you do that, that's great. And we can figure out the grain thing if you want to make a donation that way. But make the call now, 217-244-9455 or willgive.org. And thank you very much. Thank you to Drew Lerner for all the years of dedicated service you've given to the farmers that listen to our programming.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be a part of such a great program. So I hope that everyone will do as you've asked and contribute a little bit. There's only a few agricultural weather stations or agricultural radio stations out there that I'm aware of that do as thorough a job as WILL. So I hope folks will recognize that for you.
Indeed. Thank you very much. Speaking of agricultural weather, farmers will be happier if they can get in the field. And if they can get in the field, they'll actually make a donation too. Everybody's happy and then they share the wealth, right? So what's the weather forecast for the harvest season here this week and next?
You know, things look really nice right now. We do have that hurricane down in the southeastern part of the country. And what it's doing for the Midwest is blocking Gulf of Mexico moisture from coming up this way. And so we'll be able to go through a big part of the coming week without any kind of meaningful moisture. There will be a couple of sporadic showers maybe as we get out towards the middle part of next week, but we'll have to wait until a frontal system actually cuts through the region after the storm is gone from the southeastern part of the country, and that'll probably be at least a week from now. And when that front comes through, it's probably still not going to have a big impact. So we've got ourselves maybe 7 days right here in the heart of the Midwest without any real serious amount of moisture coming in. You might see a shower, but it's not going to have a lasting impact on the bottom line.
Big one. I don't know what that means. And does it back up into parts of the Midwest at all at some point?
We know Hurricane Ian is a very impressive storm. Before reaching the coast here earlier today, it was packing 155-mile-an-hour winds. And as we go forward through the rest of the day, it will push deeper inland, and we will be seeing 100-plus-mile-an-hour winds occurring in quite a few areas in central Florida. And, you know, we don't talk about citrus very often, but, you know, Florida is the country's biggest frozen citrus juice generator, I guess, if you want to call it that. They produce a lot of citrus fruit that's used for concentrate. And this storm is supposed to go right through the heart of citrus country, and there's going to be a lot of tree damage and a lot of fruit loss because of the winds, which are likely to run not only up over 100 near the coast, but they're going to be probably 50 to 80 miles per hour in the heart of the production region. So not a good thing there. As far as the storm coming up and influencing the Midwest is concerned, it is going to go across the peninsula of Florida, come out to the northeast of Orlando, and then curve, after it gets over water, curve northward to the Savannah, Georgia area, and come back inland through South Carolina. And so it will move north-northwesterly for a couple of days, and then will stall out and fall apart, and the remnants of the storm will move off to the east. Now, we'll see a little rain in eastern Kentucky, maybe a little bit in West Virginia, but I don't think you'll get it much further to the north. So areas north of the Ohio River in this particular case will be free and clear of this particular storm system, but there will be a lot of rain in the Carolinas and some flooding there.
Now turn your attention to South America for me, please.
Yeah, the situation in South America is really very good for the producers down that way, maybe not so good for our market prices here. But in South America, there is a significant amount of rain that has already occurred across some of the center-south production areas, including Paraná, parts of Goiás, and some neighboring areas in São Paulo, and Mato Grosso do Sul. These are all important soybean and corn-producing states, and there is a little bit of shower activity that's also occurring off to the north into Mato Grosso. But the rains up in Mato Grosso are not quite as significant as they are in these more southern locations. As we go forward through the next 10 days, there will be widespread rain in most of these areas. And this is the time of the year that early soybean planting begins. And as soon as the rain stops, they're going to be aggressive in the fields, I'm sure. So this will give the crop in South America, or at least in Brazil, an excellent early season start, which will help them quite a bit because we do have a La Nina still playing out, and rainfall later in October is probably going to be a little lighter than normal. But if they can get started early like this, the outlook is not too bad with the early crop coming up and establishing favorably. So it's good there. In Argentina, the situation's a little bit less favorable. There's not a lot of rain there. La Nina events disfavor rain in Argentina, and that's what's happening right now. But a little later in October, probably the second week and later, we'll probably start seeing some scattered showers and thunderstorms occurring down there to help improve the wheat crop and then help support early corn planting and continuing the sunseed crop, which is already being planted at this point.
Hey, thank you very much.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Don't forget to donate right now. When we're done, you can still dial the number 217-244-9455 or give online at willgive.org.